Yeah. Well, good. Well, I'm really glad to have this time together and to fill in for Brantley this morning. I hope the Johnsons are resting. Weddings can be quite exhausting, and so I'm sure they're resting this morning and gathering themselves back together. But I'm always glad to have time with each of you, and I'm just going to pray if you'll just join me as we have a few minutes together. Father, I'm reminded this morning of your own confession through Jesus, your Son, where you said, "My words are spirit and they are life." And I would ask this morning that we could receive them that way and they would be life to us as we share together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm reading this morning in Romans 12. Just been enjoying this passage, and then several others that I'll read, and I'll try to give you some phrases and words that I see, and hopefully you'll find some of your own. My desire is always in teaching is that you'll see something in the Scriptures that is your own. You can hear what I have, I can give it to you, but it's always good when you see it. And that's when it becomes yours. And that's when it becomes transformative. It's when it becomes yours by insight or revelation. So I'm going to read Romans 12 a little bit, and then we'll come back to it and read a couple of Psalms. Paul is finishing up this great discourse in Romans 9, 10, and 11 about how he has used the Jews and the Gentiles, how he used the Old Covenant, Moses, and how he wants all men to be saved. And he winds up in chapter 11, verse 32, "For God has shut up all," that's everybody, "in disobedience, so that he may show mercy to all." And then he says, "Oh my, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has ever became his counselor? Who has ever given to him that it might be paid back to him again? Because from him," would you say this with me? "From him and through him and to him are all things." From him, through him, and then back to him are all things. And then he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." Everybody say perfect. If something is perfect, it's perfect. You can't add anything to it. You can't adjust it. There's nothing more to say. There's nothing more to do. It's perfect. Once in a while, if you're a golfer, once in a lifetime maybe, Sterling, you make that perfect shot. If the ball does just what it's supposed to do, you hit it the way you're supposed to hit it, it takes the three bounces on the green, rolls around, and comes into the cup. What is that? Perfect. You can't do any better than that, can you? You can't say, "Well, I wish I had hit it another way. I wish it had bounced five times." No, you're saying, "Beautiful shot." Buddies are patting you on the back. It's perfect. You can't add anything to it. Paul is trying to tell us that if we'll walk in his ways, we'll prove that his ways are just perfect. But if we talk about pursuing perfection, you lose everybody. If they start thinking about all the rules, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, If I'm going to be perfect, see, I got to keep all the rules. If I break a rule, I'm not perfect. Paul is trying to tell us that if we'll allow ourselves to be transformed, we can actually move toward his ways, which are perfect. Dean, I've talked about Dean and our friendship for over 50 years about how we're different and how we're alike in so many ways. But Dean is a solid craftsman. And I'm the get it done type of guy. So we don't work well together. Because Dean is trying to get it perfect. I'm trying to get it done. And so Dean's handiwork is all through my house. He did my finished work in my home, and it's perfect. It's beautiful. I get compliments all the time. But once in a while, Dean will make that perfect miter cut. It's perfect. There's not a piece of sawdust out of place. It comes together. It doesn't need caulk. It doesn't need anything. It's perfect. God gave Adam and Eve the garden. He had created his world perfectly. There was nothing to be added to, nothing to be taken from. Of course, man, being deceived by the serpent, thought, maybe we can tweak it just a little bit. Hey, young people, let me tell you something. You don't have to tweak it. It's already perfect. His ways are perfect. So let's read. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove that God's will really is not just good, not just acceptable, it's perfect. So the first two words I want to call to your attention are conform and transform. All right? I just want to pull those to your attention this morning. Conform. He says, don't be conformed, rather be transformed. Two different words. When I think of conformed, I think of something that's under pressure or heat to be molded, maybe. We have engineers here this morning. They understand a molding process where you heat something and put pressure on it and it's conformed to a certain image. Paul says, that's not what we're after. We're after an internal transformation that's going to let you move toward the perfection that God has given. When I was a little boy, I marvel at technology. We were at the wedding outside yesterday, and I didn't even think about it, but I looked up, and there was a drone sent looking at me, taking my picture and filming this whole thing. I didn't even, it was silent. It's about this big, and I'm sure it was Bluetooth to the photographer's camera and whatever, and filming the whole thing. And that's like a child's toy now. When I was a youngster, we would get the Sears and Roebuck Christmas toy catalog. You're old enough to remember that, sir? You're older than I thought. I thought that was way gone. But one of the toys that I really wanted and actually received as a youngster was this by Mattel toy makers called vacuum form. And what it was a little box that you could plug in, electric, and it had little molds and it had thin sheets of plastic. And they would heat up and you pump the vacuum and it would suck that plastic down over the mold. Now, it was good for nothing, except it would make your whole house smell like burned plastic, which is not a pleasant odor. But it was called a vacuum form. It would conform that melted plastic to whatever little image, a car or a skeleton or anything you put in there. And so I Googled that this morning. You can buy them on eBay for $400. By Mattel, 1962. Isn't that amazing? You remember that, Dean? Does it ring a bell? Anyway, conform. Don't be sucked into the world with the world's pressure and heat. Cookie stamp out into conformity to this world. Don't do that. You'll never prove that God's ways are perfect if you're just going to be conformed to this same image as everyone else. Don't do that, he said. Don't be conformed. Rather, be transformed. Different word. Because it speaks of something internally. You can't transform something externally. Unless it's a toy. What are the popular toys? Transformers? Yep. Tell me about a joke. It can be a tank. It can be a machine. It can be a robot. It can be an airplane. Right? You can transform into something totally different. Paul says, don't be conformed. Don't be sucked in by heat and pressure of the world. But be transformed. So I want to introduce, first of all, those two words, okay? Because I want you to pursue perfection. I want you to think about God's perfect work, His perfect will that He's created for us to enjoy. He said, it's perfect. It's perfect. You don't need to tweak it. You don't need to add it. Okay? Turn with me to Psalm 19. And I didn't try to bother and take the time to do all the word studies of what the word really means. But all of us understand what it means to be perfect. Or what perfection is. In Psalm 19, just one verse, number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. So I've got another phrase I want to introduce to you this morning. In light of conform, transform, perfect, I want to just introduce the term a restored soul. So I'm throwing all kinds of stuff at you. The law of the Lord is perfect, and it has the power to restore my soul. I wonder what a restored soul looks like. What did David say in Psalm 23? Everybody knows Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And I thought about that phrase because I found myself in years past praying that, Lord, restore my soul. Actually, two prayers. By the renewal of your mind. Be transformed, number one, by the renewing of your mind. I pray often, Lord, renew my mind and restore my soul. Renew my mind, let me think right, and restore my soul so that I can pursue that which is perfect. I know all of us are, by the way, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus, at the end of what we know is the Sermon on the Mount of the Beatitudes, he ends that chapter by saying, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I'm thinking, all right, Lord, come on. Come on. Perfect, really? But if we look at it in light of what Paul is challenging us here, okay? Because we're going to get to the end of Romans 12, and to me, it's perfect. And it also paints a picture for me of what a restored soul might look like. How many of you know we all need restoring down in here? Huh? We all have holes in our souls to some degree, don't we? Because we have grown up in an imperfect world. As soon as the garden was corrupted from its perfection, holes, if you will, entered into the souls of the offspring of Adam and Eve. Cain had a hole in his soul. When his brother's sacrifice was accepted and his wasn't, what happened? That old broken soul rose up in anger and murder. God had perfection. Man corrupted it by his deception and disobedience. And suddenly you have people who are broken and their souls need restored. All of us need our souls restored to some degree. Even if you grew up in a nearly perfect situation. Maybe your parents loved you. They loved each other. You had a good model. You had good friends that supported you. All of your teachers liked you. None of your coaches abused you. And you have very little holes in your soul. Well, that's unusual. But even if all of that was good, you're still going to have some issues, right? You're going to have something that needs restoring by the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. We all do. Some of you may not know the damage you have, but David said, He restores my soul so that He can lead me in paths of righteousness back toward the restoration of His perfection, of His perfect. So I just want to give you these phrases this morning. Don't be conformed, but be transformed, number one, by the renewing of your mind, right? And then the restoration of your soul. So maybe you will see some things here other than what I will give you this morning. But as he goes on through the chapter, he says in verse 3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think." Everybody say, not to think. So he's saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're going to start with this. Don't think that you're all the same. Through the grace given to me, I'm telling every one of you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. Then he goes into the whole concept of how God has allotted to each of us different measures of everything. Different measures of faith, different measures of grace, and last of all, but not least, different gifts. Don't be conformed thinking that you've got to be like everybody else. Go back to Cain and Abel right quick. God liked your sacrifice. He didn't like mine. I should be more like him. No, you should have done it right in your heart. Look, we who are many are one body in Christ, but we're individually members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us by God's perfection. The way God made you perfect. You don't have to tweak who God made you to be. All right? It's already in you perfect. Dean would like to tweet me sometimes. Yeah. He says that, but it's hard sometimes. Yeah. he says, don't be conformed. There's something about conformity that makes us all feel better about ourselves. cookie cutters. If I can just be like this other person, now this hole in my soul close up a little bit. Well, no. If we could be it. Some of the nicest people I enjoy being around are people who are comfortable, who are not trying to conform to what everybody else is doing. They're just comfortable with who they are. And you know, that's a gift that's hard to find, because you can be with them and you don't have anything to prove. You don't have to talk all the time. You just can enjoy one another. You know what I'm talking about? The person who's full of holes, something else is going on. There's a lot of conversation. There's different... And you can't enjoy that person. Paul says, stop trying to be all things to all men. Don't be try to be everything. People who are type A especially have a problem, because they think they should be good at everything. I grew up with some guys in school that were just, they were good at everything. Made me mad. Baseball, football, anything. You ask them, can you play the piano? They say, I don't know, I hadn't tried. Hit a golf ball first time and tried it. Didn't have to teach them anything. They were just good. And I thought, if I could be like that, all my holes in my soul would close up. No. But I thought about type A people who feel like they have to be this or this or this or this. And I'm certainly guilty of that. But Paul says, first of all, start thinking sound. He said, think so as to have sound judgment. For God has allotted something to you. It's His gift to you. It's not His gift to them. It's His gift to you. Start letting the Spirit transform you internally, leading to a restored soul. I'm really thinking in my mind now what a restored soul would look like. I'm thinking about the holes in my own soul. It could be anything. It could be something happened to you as a child. Some of you may be victims of abuse, of neglect. Let the big hole in your soul. Some of us maybe just got things that we're not even aware of, but I think that's a good prayer. Restore my soul. What would it look like if you could fill those holes in, comfortable in your own skin, didn't have to prove anything, and could just enjoy living beyond yourself? Okay, we're moving somewhere now. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. That's really complicated, isn't it? Hate evil, love good. Well, that's not hard to understand. It's a little bit harder to do. But he's moving us toward God's perfect world here. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Here's the kicker. Give preference to one another in honor. And that's hard to do if your soul's not been restored. Because insecure people can't honor. They don't have the capacity to serve. They don't, because their soul has got them focused on me. And Paul's trying to say, start living out. Start thinking about others. How did God make His world? Perfect. And it's the world that calls us outside of ourselves. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. bless and do not curse. If you got holes in your soul, you kind of skip over that verse. He says, never pay back evil for evil. Okay? Never. Because in God's perfect world, that won't work. But how many of us, because of our insecurities or whatever is deformed here, they're always on the defensive. Anybody know somebody that's always got their gloves on and they're ready? They're always ready. Always ready to punch back. I'm ready, man. I'm at the ready. You say something to me, bam, I got you back. You do something to me, bam, I'm ready. That's a soul person. That's a someone who needs healing. Bless those who persecute you. This is echoing the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and Luke chapter 5 or 6, where Jesus said, he said, I'm taking you back to this restorative place if you'll listen to what I'm saying. And he said, anybody, the publicans and the sinners and the tax collectors, know how to love people who love them back. He said, anybody can do that. People with holes in their soul can love people who love them back. He said, we're going way beyond that. He said, I want you to start loving those people who spitefully use you. Spitefully use you. Can you imagine a world and how it would look and how it would work? The whole world's at war. There are people kicking people and punching them in the streets. They don't even know why. Just mad, angry, got holes in their soul. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Live outward toward others. Number two, be generous. Look, you find your own things in here. This is a great list of what a restored soul might look like. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. It doesn't mean all your problems are going to be gone. It's just telling you how to respond in difficulty. You've got a sister who loses her one and only sister. What do? We mourn. We lament. We lament. Same time, somebody over here is getting married. So yesterday, I get a call. I lost my sister. I got to go to the wedding. So I weep with those who weep, pray and comfort, change my hat, go over here. We're going to rejoice. People are coming together in God. You have to be whole on the inside to move toward this life of perfection that God has given us. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never. Everybody say never. Don't do that. James, don't do that. Never. There's never an occasion that calls for evil back to evil. I didn't write this, but I believe God wants us in a place where we can learn to walk these things out. Before I close out, this took me back to a scripture in the Psalms where it's talking about the house of God or God's dwelling place in Zion. And it says, it's the beauty of holiness. It's beautiful. It was said of Zion, her beauty shines forth, and out of her God has come. And then I went to the book of Lamentations when Israel was in captivity and the walls were broken down. And it says, they passed by and they said, is this the same city that they used to talk about being beautiful? And you see, you make the connection here to the people of God out in the world looking at, are these the people that never pay back evil for evil? He just punched me in the face and took me to court. One of the saddest things I know of, and I've got two situations now where family members are suing family. And I'm thinking, what in the Sam Hill are you thinking? Over nothing. A piece of land or hunting rights. Boy, that's really important, isn't it? In God's economy. Never, never pay back evil. Look at what God is trying to bring us to. He gives us a wonderful opportunity to create in our world the kind of world we want to live. We get to create that. Fathers, mothers, you create in your home the atmosphere that you want to. You have complete control, if you will, responsibility over that. Do you not? You can create an atmosphere of love, acceptance, peace, forgiveness, communication, or not. But God loves His world, and He knows what He wants, and He created it in the beginning, and He's trying to bring us back to that wonderful place of restoration. Never pay back evil for evil. Verse 18, if possible, I love this verse. If possible, if it's possible, and sometimes it's not, but he said, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, what? Be at peace with all men. Much as possible. Be at peace with all men. What did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called my son. You want to be a son of God? Be a peacemaker. All right? That's not hard either. That's not complicated. As much as lies within you, be at peace. Don't ever take your own revenge, beloved. Leave some room for God. Wow. Don't take your own revenge. Leave some room for God's anger and wrath. Let Him deal with it. He can do it better than you can. And His wrath is righteous, okay? Ours gets out of control. God's wrath is perfect, righteous. But He can get angry. He can deal with people and things and situations. Y'all know that. He can. He can. And He does, and He will. But if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Interesting. For in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. In other words, he won't know where to put it. And then finally, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The late author Dallas Willard wrote a book called The Divine Conspiracy, and this is it. This is God's divine conspiracy. Not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil. That's a place where restoration has its highest achievement. If you don't have to add anything to it or take anything from it, it's perfect. It works. It glorifies God. It honors Him, and it brings deep satisfaction to you as His servant. See what you see in these passages. Don't just take what what I see. But I do see that it's good to be delivered from the pressure of comparison to others, to be content. Be content. David said, my soul, my wounded soul has become content. He said, I'm like a weaned child resting against his mother's breast. Now, what's that a picture of? Did you hear? A weaned child resting against what? His mother's breast. His source as an infant was here. And if you've ever seen a hungry baby who's breastfeeding, I'm hungry. You know, he's all over. But David said, I'm weaned. I'm content. I can sit right here where my source of nourishment used to be and not have to reach for it. My soul, he said, is like a weaned child resting against it. What a picture of peace and contentment. So I just see, live outwardly toward others. I see generosity. I see love for enemies, peacemaker, and delivered from the pressure of comparison to others. You can create the kind of world you want. God's created His, and I want His. I want to pursue that perfection. Not about keeping all the rules. It's about finding the way of life. Jack is always quoting Jesus' words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's not the rule maker. He said, I'm the way. I'm not the rule keeper. I'm not here to slap your wrist when you break a rule. He said, I'm the way. So follow me into what I've created that works, where you don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to take anything from it. It's find your own things in the Scripture, hopefully. And let the Lord minister them to your heart. But if you'll stand, I'll pray for you. And I'm just going to pray for your soul. The holes in your soul this morning, all right? If you would allow me. And I'm including myself. I have funny quirks that I don't even know where they came from. A lot of them I don't like because they're not perfect. And so, Father, this morning we want to rejoice in what you've created and done in Jesus Christ. You left nothing undone. You left nothing out of place. You left nothing lacking. It's perfect. You are perfect. All your ways are perfect. I'm asking, Lord, that you help us see that as an achievement, something we can, as Paul said, press toward that mark. It's a high call, and it's only in Christ. But it's there for us to pursue. And I pray in our journeys, each one of us this morning, Lord, in our journeys, as we pursue it, you would reveal to us the holes in our soul, and as we pursue it, you close them up and you heal them, and you let us pursue the kind of things that are truly perfect, life-giving, God-honoring, fulfilling, resulting in righteousness, peace, and joy, Holy Spirit. Bless your word again, Lord. I pray it would be life to us. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for being here. Yes, please.